Okay, Happy New Year. If you could turn to your neighbors and welcome them by telling them Happy New Year. This is the first Sunday of the 2019, if you could do that. Before I deliver the Word of God, I would like to invite Pastor Ruth, Missionary Ruth, missionary to Africa. She spent the last couple weeks with us, and she will be heading back to Uganda on Tuesday around noon. So I ask her to come and give us a word of exhortation on this first Sunday. So can you welcome Pastor Ruth? Let's welcome her. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I want to take this opportunity to give glory, the highest glory, to our Lord Jesus Christ, who poured his grace and blessings and his love onto this church. Praise God. I'm very thankful I was able to go to the retreat with the young people last week. I have witnessed how much God loved this church, how much he cared each young people, and I was so blessed. I was very much encouraged going back to Africa. My heart is full of zeal and challenge. Praise the Lord. You know, God is with you, and he is about to great work. I was so blessed to see you, to see how you blessed, and you fellowship each other. I was so blessed. I want to really thank God for everything he has done throughout years. And as we reach 2019, I have no doubt all of us will be filled with the love of God and his spirit. And, you know, I want to thank you for your prayer for me and Africa Mission. And it's amazing how God, I'm very excited how God will lead 2019 in Africa Mission. Continue pray for me and for Africa Mission, that God will really produce the servant of God who will give their life for Christ and reaching out those people who are in need. I also I want to say, really give thanks to God again for giving us this special holiday. Usually when I come, I was busy and I didn't really quite rest. But this holiday, I really enjoyed you. I was invited every Passport's family party. And also John and Esther really provided great hospitality to me. I stayed with them. I had a really great holiday with you. I thank you and all of you. And once again, you know, let's really run to the cross, run to the Christ, remembering what he has done. And I have no doubt all of us will really enjoy his great grace and his love. Thank you once again. God, praise God. Thank you.
Yeah. This is her ninth year in Africa. I remember we sent her to Africa 9 years ago. And, you know, she looks young, but she's over 70 years old. And she said, just like other missionaries usually work for 4 to 5 years and then take a one-year sabbatical. And she said, let me try 4 years, okay? And just went straight for 8 years. And one of the questions people ask her is, so when are you going to retire? And she always says, until God tells me to retire, I'm just going to keep going, okay? And they're wonderful, right? I just want to praise God, right? I wish, really, my prayer is that I'll be where she is when I reach her age, if I ever do, okay? That really is my prayer. So it was wonderful to have Pastor Ruth around, and she's been my co-laborer and mentor and friend, everything. So just want to praise the Lord. Okay, today on this first Sunday of the year, I thought about going over the core values of New Heart Mission Church. This is our 10th year, okay? I don't know whether there is any emotion about that. To me, there is. This is our 10th year since we planted a church here in Manhasset. And, you know, things change over the years. Things progress. But going into the 10th year and really thinking about what was the vision, what was the core values that Lord has placed in our church really blessed my heart. Okay, so today, with the title of message, from worship to mission, okay? And that's like from beginning to the end kind of thing. We want to go over the core values of New Heart. And these are the core values. Most of you know, maybe you don't know, okay? Worship, prayer, restoration, and mission, okay? But I place that heart of worship. Because you know why? Because worship is a heart activity. It's not physical activity. You may be sitting here, but it is a lot more than physical presence. Okay? And heart of prayer. Prayer is a heart activity, isn't it? It's not reciting something that you don't mean. Okay? What about heart of restoration? What needs to be restored? Your heart needs to be restored. Right? And what about heart of mission? Missions and mission is not physical going, but it is the heart going. So everything has to do with heart. And these are the core values. And I thought about this. Why are these important? You know why? Because this reveals who God is. And it stems from the heart of God. Everything begins from the heart of God. That's what differentiates Christianity from everything else, if you think about it. It all begins with God, right? Worship begins with God. You see God, you will be worshipers, okay? And prayer, believe it or not, our God is a praying God. Did you know that? Romans chapter 8 speaks, the Son intercedes and Holy Spirit intercedes. That's their ministry. Our God is praying God. Can you believe that? Right? What about restoration? It flows from great mercy of God, transforming, changing your heart. Then, perhaps, you will have a restored heart and restored relationships. It begins with your relationship with God. And heart of mission, and we talked about this during the retreat, mission is in the center of God's heart, okay? I'm going to explain. And these are the two visions Lord has placed in the heart of this church from the beginning, okay? In case you didn't know, these are the vision statements, okay? Preparing the next generation and building the families. I'll let you just kind of look at it for a second. And I was thinking about it. I was preparing for today. These two things our enemy hates. Think about it. He doesn't want next generation to exist. He wants, I'm talking about the enemy. Enemy wants your generation to extinguished from the church. And you know what? He's putting up a fight. Do you notice that? Right? What about families? We want to talk about marriage a little bit. You know why this is so important? Because no matter how you look at it, how you slice it, if the family is broken, your heart is broken. It's like the pressure point. It is like the jugular vein. Enemy knows exactly what would just What would just destroy you? And that's family, right? So it is not just trendy statement, trendy ideas that we thought of, but this is something that the Lord has placed in our heart for over the years. So we pursue these two visions with core values of worship, prayer, restoration, and mission, okay? So this is from just a couple days ago, Quinnipet Retreat Center. We just came back from a wonderful time of retreat. I wish all of you were there. 40-plus people came and had just has a blast. And I'm not sure what this lady's doing. This lady right here. Yeah. Okay, but had a blast. Okay. And these are the pastors. She has a thumb showing up right here, but her sleeves are too long. So it's kind of hidden. Yeah, but everybody showing thumbs up. Building the families and preparing the next generation. So let me begin, okay? Let me begin in a reverse order. Instead of starting with worship, I want to start with missions, okay? Mission, and then restoration, prayer, and worship, in that order, okay? What is Christianity about? Okay, Christianity always begins with God, okay? It doesn't begin with you. It begins with God's creation. It ends with the return of Christ. It begins with God coming to us. Everything begins with God. It doesn't begin with you. It's not that we sought after him, but he sought after us. That's Christianity, right? It begins with in the heart of God, and it is complete only when it reaches your heart. It doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter how long you've been going to church. It doesn't matter what your position is. It doesn't matter what your title is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter unless it reaches your heart. Okay? So it begins with the heart of God and it reaches the heart of men. Okay? What needs to reach your heart? Love and mercy of God. Love and mercy of God is love. That's Christianity, which separates from everything else. Remember, there are only two religions. Human work righteousness, and then grace of God, Christianity. Only two religions, right? So it's always from God to men. And what is mercy? Mercy of God, oops. Yeah, they look funny. Yeah. Mercy is the aspect of God's love that moves him to forgive sinners, rescue sinners who are miserable and beyond their control, heading toward destruction. God sees and God desires to rescue you. Isn't that wonderful? What if he's indifferent? What if he's just someone incapable? But he cares and he loves and he desires. That's why he missions. That's why he sent. Okay? So what is mission? Mission, missio, is a Latin word. It means sent. God sent. God sent his son. God sent his spirit. God sent his grace. Right? So missio Dei, when we say missio Dei, it's a huge statement these days. Mission of God. Mission of God. I don't know what you're hearing. God is not an old grandfather figure sitting on a throne with beard and kind of like chilling and resting and doing nothing. God is on a mission. That's the story of Christianity. That's the history. Okay? And I love these two theological statements. Okay? Our God is on a mission right now. Did you know that? Our God is on a mission. And the statement that I treasured for the last 35 years, our God is a missionary God. You know why? Because God loves and he's merciful and he wants to rescue you, save you. He desires all men to be saved and not to perish. Okay, that's why I think John chapter 3:16, which is to summarize the entire scripture, you know, probably the most well-known scripture of the verse of the Bible. It says, "For God so loved the world," right? There's that adverb, "so loved the world," that he sent, he missioned his son. And his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. Salvation from what? We've been talking about this in the book of Romans. Salvation from the wrath of God and the judgment of God. Salvation from God. So weird, isn't it? He sent his son to save you from him, from his wrath, from his judgment. So he poured wrath upon his son so that you may be saved. What kind of story is that, right? That's the gospel story, okay? Henry Martin, I love this quote. There is many great quotes about missions, but the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of missions. And the nearer we get to him, the more intensely missionary we become. I think it is true. More you know Jesus, more missionary you become. And I don't mean you have to go to Africa, although that'll be great, but you become sending missionary person you become instead of indifferent person you become, self-focused, self-exalting person you become. Sin by nature is self-exalting and self-focused, shockingly selfish. But the gospel and grace makes you more and more like God. You become a missionary person, okay? So today's text, okay, I'm going to go pretty quickly because we want to cover a lot today. John chapter 20 is first Easter Sunday, first day of resurrection. Jesus was raised from the dead, okay? But the disciples were fearful because they heard about Jesus resurrected. And Jesus mentioned that he will be raised in 3 days, but they were afraid of the Jews. Jews killed him, and they were afraid that they will be put into prison. So they were afraid. So you know what they were doing? They were gathered together, lock all the doors, okay, and hiding. And to those disciples, resurrected King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who has conquered sin and death, appear to him. Okay, that's where we begin. Jesus appears to his disciples on the evening of the first day of the week. That's first Easter Sunday morning, Sunday evening, when the disciples were together with doors locked for fear of the leaders. You know, we could easily do that. Church could be so fearful. We always lock the doors and just enjoy ourselves, right? But he showed up with locked the doors and fear of the leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and peace be with you. He just showed up. Okay? Shalom. After he said this, he showed them his hands, nail-pierced hands, and his side, the spear-pierced side, and disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. So finally they saw resurrected Christ. Okay? And this is what Jesus said. Shalom again. Peace be with you. Don't be afraid. Peace be with you. And as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. We talked about this passage yesterday at the retreat. John chapter 17, he prayed. Now he's commissioning. Okay? Just as Father has sent me. Okay, why was Jesus sent to this world? Why did he mission? Because God so loved and he wants to rescue the lost. And he's saying, just as my Father has sent me, I, Jesus, is sending you Christians into the world. But I thought the world hates you. You are afraid of the world. Precisely. But he's sending you, sending Christians, missioning them into the world. And then look at what he does right after that. With that, he breathed. What is he doing? Pneuma, right? Holy Spirit. He breathed it on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Christians are the ones who are dwelled by presence of the Holy Spirit. Okay? If you're a Christian, Spirit of God dwells within you. Okay? And then this peculiar statement, which sounds so audacious if you think about it. After that, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. What? Who has right to forgive other people's sin? Remember the Pharisees asked this question? Only God does. But he's saying, Jesus is saying, Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, saying, if you forgive sins, anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. You know what he's saying? Okay? When you believe in Jesus, the church has the delegated authority with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We could proclaim the word. We could proclaim the gospel. If they resist and do not submit to the gospel and the lordship of Jesus Christ, their sin remains on them completely. But if they repent, their sins will be forgiven. Okay, what do we see here? Just briefly, I just want to mention it to you. The peace of God. Christians, you do not have to be afraid. The peace of God, shalom of Jesus is with you. What else? The power of his resurrection. No other religion has this topic. Power of resurrection. Thirdly, the mission of Jesus. Just as my Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Do you know why you live? Do you know why you go to school? Do you know why you get married? Do you know why you need to make money? Do you know why you need to raise a family? So that you'll be sent into the world with the same purpose that God sent Jesus. That's the purpose, okay? Just want to remind you. Number four, power and the life of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is with us. The difference between a non-believer and a believer is the Holy Spirit. What kind of difference is that? God difference. Okay, and lastly, the authority of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many of you believe in the gospel, preaching Christ, and it is the joy of your life? Can you say amen if it is the joy of your life? Can you say amen?
Amen.
Wow. Can you believe that? What kind of question is that? The power of the gospel. I could tell you right now, brothers and sisters, after 20, almost 5 years of being in ministry, I believe in one thing. Only the gospel and the word of God, empowered by the Spirit, could change your heart. Nothing else. Not Lola, not mission trip to Africa, not retreat, but it has to be the word of God and the gospel, empowered by the Holy Spirit. When it is penetrating your heart, giving you faith, your life could be changed. Okay, so it begins with mission. And I'm going to go through fast. Matthew chapter 28, okay, the Great Commission. Why this is the heart of God? Why mission is important to the church? Because that is the Great Commission, is what Jesus commissioned right before he was ascended. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore. If you look at the original text, go comes first. Go, therefore. The Greek grammar, you put whatever is important first. Go, therefore. Okay? Christians need to go. But we love to sit on our butt and just kind of like wallow in our sin and pity. That's exactly what the devil wants. But God is commanding his church, go. Therefore, what is that therefore? All authority in heaven and on earth given to me. This is resurrected Christ. All authority. That's above United States government, isn't it? That's above NATO. That's above United Nations. That's above Roman Empire. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore. Do you hear it? And what is the key of Christian church? To make disciples. It's not just the spectators. as lovers and followers and disciples of Christ. Make disciples. Okay, someone who would put their life on the line like Mary. We'll talk about it at the end. Of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Okay? I want to quote John Piper. I think it kind of sums up really well. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Okay? If you don't have worship, you're not going to be part of missions. Okay? Worship is where everything begins. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't exist. Worship is the ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not men. Worship, therefore, is the fuel and the goal of missions. It is the goal of missions because in missions we simply aim to bring the nations into the white-hot enjoyment of God's glory. The goal of mission is the gladness of the people in the greatness of God. Mission begins and ends in worship. Okay? I love missions. Okay? You know why? More and more? Because it flows from the heart of God. Heart of merciful God. Right? Second, we want to talk about restoration. Okay? I think this is, when you look at this generation, working with second generation Asian Americans for 2 decades, I've seen so many hearts are crushed, right? So many hearts are just angry. So many hearts are shut down. You know why people shut down? Because if you expose everything to what is going on, you feel like you're going to die. That's why you need to shut down. When your parents are fighting all the time, and you're so young, if you engage with that, what's happening at home, it'll drive you crazy. So you know what you have to do? Automatic mechanism of, you know, keeping yourself safe. You shut down. And people shut down for so long, it's really difficult to reach that person because deep inside they lock themselves in. What you talk, the person that you talk to, person that you relate to, person that you have meals with, person that you may even go to church with, it's not the person. The person is locked inside. How do you get him or her out of that prison and become a free person? Gospel. Only gospel. Restoration is through the power of the gospel. When God's mercy falls upon you, when the mercy falls upon you, you experience forgiveness and freedom. That's where you begin. It must begin from that. It's never going up this way. It's always from God to us. Remember, Christianity is from God to man. Okay? How do you restore the relationship between you and your wife? How do you restore the relationship between you and your father? How do you restore the relationship between you and your brother? You can never do it on your own. It's an impossibility. Christian gospel is when the mercy of God falls upon your heart, that he loves you. And he come all the way down to where you are. All the way down to where you are. All the way down to that isolated, miserable, destitute area where you are existing. And he picks you up and rescues you. And he treasures you. Treasures. That's the gospel, isn't it? It's like this. I always picture it like this. When the waterfall flows, waterfall. We saw a waterfall this summer when we went to Africa. Murchison Falls. We had a chance to see from the top We saw waterfall falling down. It was the most spectacular sight that I have seen in my entire life. I want to see it again. But when the waterfall falls into my heart, it's going to flow. It's going to flow. It's going to flow. It's the gospel. Gospel that restores. Okay? Christianity begins in the heart of God. Mercy of God falls to the heart of men. You experience forgiveness, and then it begins to flow. Okay? Forgiveness. When you experience the forgiveness. Can I talk about marriage a little bit? What do you need to talk about marriage right now? Because in terms of restoration and family restoration, marriage is what is the target of the enemy, I think. Do you remember the first sin that came into this world in Genesis chapter 3? What was the target? It was the marriage, wasn't it? So let me begin with that. What is the purpose of marriage? Believe it or not, Bible gives a clear reason for marriage. Okay, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31. For this reason, you get married. Bible makes it very clear for those people who are slow. For this reason, you get married. Okay? Are you listening? Okay, yeah. Don't fall asleep. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. That sounds like marriage, right? Original intention of marriage is a man leaving his father and mother united to his wife. Okay? That's the original plan of God. And two shall become one flesh. And then it goes on to say, Ephesians chapter 5, this marriage has a profound mystery. This is a great mystery. Mega mysterion. Okay? Mega, which means huge meaning. What is? Marriages. Okay? And then, what is the meaning then? And then Paul says, I'm talking about Christ and the church. Here's what it means. Husband and wife, marriage. Christ and the church. What's the relationship? This relationship reveals the message of Christ and the church. That's how important it is. Okay? However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Okay? Marriage is huge. And if you notice, where do you see this this statement? A man shall leave his mother and father. Genesis chapter 3. Marriage was designed and planned. In fact, he placed a great meaning by the Creator. If you want your marriage to be in the right place, you need to know him. If you want your marriage to be restored, which means you need to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? What is the profound mystery? What is the great mega meaning of this marriage? Husband and wife reveals the great message of Christ and the church. In other words, your marriage is a display of the gospel of Christ and the church. How? When Christ reigns in your heart, you love your wife as Christ loved the church. When Christ reigns in the wife's heart, just as church submit to the church, she submits to the husband. But both of this is out of reverence and submission to Christ. It's very reflexive, reciprocal, honoring, loving relationship. When we have that kind of relationship, it reveals the gospel. It's the perfect display. Huge meaning, mega display. Can I just ask you, if that's what it means, the enemy, will he leave that alone? Absolutely not. He knows exactly what the weak point is. He knows exactly what's going to break your heart. He knows exactly how to destroy your life. That's why enemy comes after your marriage. That's why enemy comes after your family. That is why enemy comes after biting your jugular vein. like a carnivore going after the weak herbivore. Enemy wants to destroy your life. That's why he comes after your marriage, right? Working with young adults, working with even Korean congregation, when family is broken, you may be sitting here, you look very composed, well-dressed, but your heart is shattered and broken. And how do we restore that? God wants to restore that with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Gospel of Jesus Christ. When his mercy and his forgiveness, then you could forgive your wife. Then you could forgive your husband. Then you could forgive your son. Then you could forgive your father. Just as waterfall flows, and it's gonna flow, restoration begins by restoring this relationship and then horizontal relationship. Okay? I know there is hope. I know there is hope. And this is the fight that we are called to fight. We try to, resolve this with all kinds of techniques. Will technique change your heart? Absolutely not. Will program change your heart? Absolutely not. Only the great mercy of God and the Spirit of God change your heart. Okay? If God has forgiven me 10,000 talents, which takes about a million years, and he absolved that pain by him dying on the cross for me, why can't I forgive my wife and husband who owe me 100 denarii? Matthew chapter 18, isn't it? That's the gospel. That's the restoration. God wants to restore your marriage and your family. And brothers and sisters, we look forward to this year. And may you be the agent. May you be the agent of grace to your family. Your parents maybe just have given up already. Maybe. And I've seen a lot of parents already given up. May you be the agent. I always look at it this way. You know that song, There's None Like You? The chorus goes like this. The mercy flows like a river. I was going to sing, I couldn't. Yeah, mercy flows like a river. River flows from Genesis to Revelation. But the question is it flowing in your family? Is that river of mercy flowing in your home? No. Then what do we have to do? We need to find a tunnel, a channel. When you humble yourself before the mercy and grace of God, you become the channel of grace and mercy. And the river flows through you into your living room. Will it be immediate? Maybe not immediate. But it's going to change. It's going to change your home. Okay? You sit down with your mom and have a meal. I always tell this, people that I disciple, have a meal with your family. Have some conversation with your mom. People are so used to eating on their own, which I think it is the saddest thing. I know a family, they don't have a dinner table. And each member of the family have their own schedule of their eating and their choice of food. That saddens me. That saddens me. Because food is, eating together is what it means to relate and being a community. And the most basic community that God has given is the family. People, before you think about going to Africa, have meal with your parents. I really ask of you. Have meal with your siblings. Have a conversation with your spouse. May that mercy flow from above into your heart to your family members. Okay? Three, prayer. Okay? Again, from God to man. Did you know that our God is a praying God? Can you believe that? Why does he have to pray? Son intercedes and Holy Spirit intercedes. Not only that, when Jesus came, he prayed and he prayed. He really prayed. Okay? Christianity begins in the heart of God, praying God. It completes when it reaches the heart of man, praying children. Do you pray? Right? Why is prayer so important? Because a man without prayer is like a tree without roots. Sounds like it's a matter of time, right? You're just going to drop and you're going to dry up and die. Right? A man without prayer is a tree without roots. Why is it important? I mean, if a man is man and God is God, to live without prayer is like merely an awful, not only a prayer is not merely an awful thing, it is an infinitely foolish thing. You could be infinitely foolish. Okay, according to Philip Brooks. A man is man, God is God, and you don't pray, you're infinitely foolish. Okay? Why is prayer so important? I want to give you a couple reasons. Looking at life of Jesus when he was on earth as a God-man. Why did he have to pray if he's God? I really thought about this theological question many years ago. Really struggled through. People gave me different reasons, but nobody really satisfied my soul. But I finally came to a conclusion. You know why Jesus prayed all the way to the end? Because he had to pray. Okay? And then second approach is from God's point of view. Why do we need to pray? Okay? So why pray? If man is man and God is God, no. Okay. See, do you remember Jesus prayed until the last moment of his life? We called it Gethsemane prayer. A night before he was arrested and went to the cross, he went to the Garden of Olive, and he prayed. Remember that? Taking three disciples, and a little distant away, he went by himself. He prayed like crazy. And this is the way he prayed. Okay? Listen to his prayer. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Yet not my will, but thy will. What is Jesus saying? He is so troubled, his heart, about upcoming impending death on the cross. Because he knew what that involves. It's not the physical pain, not so much, although that was pretty hard. But he knew the wrath of God will be poured upon him because he will bore the sin of the world. We will never know that, but he knew because he's God. Right? So he's saying, Abba, Father, take this cup away from me. Take this suffering away from me. And yet, not my will, but thy will. Can you believe that Jesus had to pray? You know why? Because he's God and he's man. Okay? And then let me continue. Then he returned to his disciples and find them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Are you dead? Could you not keep watch for an hour? And then he said this famous statement, watch, okay, be alert, and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. You know why prayer is a must for Jesus? Two reasons. Number one, you need to watch, kathaude, which means be alive. That's why I say praying is to be alive. Kathaude. If you don't pray, you're a rootless tree, dead tree, so that you will not fall into temptation. What's temptation? Temptation to sin, disobey, not going to the cross. What happens if he didn't obey? What happened if he sinned? What happened if he just refused to go? Then there is no redemption, there is no Christianity. He could not afford to sin. He's man. 100% man, 100% God. So he had to pray. Okay, second reason. Not my will, but thy will. Can I ask you, did Jesus know Father's will? Of course he did. Then why did he have to pray? Not to make sure that's the will of God, I don't think, so that my will be yield, surrendered to his will. That's prayer. That's Gethsemane. That's why I believe without Gethsemane, there is no Calvary. Same thing with you. No Gethsemane, no Calvary. Okay? I want to just read this through. Okay? Some key biblical-based axiomatic statement about prayer. Okay? I'm going to go quickly. To pray is to be alive. It's true for you, true for me, true for the church. Okay? Prayer is the front line of the battle. And we need some soldiers, people. It's easy to be in the back and just gossiping, criticizing. Did you remember the movie 300? Never mind. Yeah, let me not use that. Yeah. The front line, people. To pray together is to be united as one. How do you become one without praying together? People say, we want to be communicating. We want to have a proper relationship. How are we ever going to be one without praying together? Impossible, right? Prayer is the means by which God carries out his glorious purpose. And you will never live beyond the domain of your prayer. Okay? You will never live beyond the domain of your prayer. 2019, we're hoping that we would start praying God-sized prayer. If we're just going to pray our man-sized prayer, why bother pray? We got to pray man-sized prayer. As we are heading over to Hicksville, God, would you open the door for us? May we not shut the doors and be afraid and living in Korea. Right? God, open the door for us, right? How about from God's point of view? Why does he allow us to pray? To slave us? No. God could carry out what he purposes on his own. But why does he want us to pray? So that he could answer us. So that he could carry out. So that you could be part of what he's doing. Why? I think that's grace. Grace. We call that grace. Watchman Nee says, our prayer lay the track down which God's power can come down. Can you picture this? In his time, the train was the biggest thing, locomotive, right? A prayer lay the track down, track, right? Track down which God's power can come. Like a mighty locomotive, train. His power is irresistible. It's going to come. But it cannot reach us without the rails. You know, the more you think about this statement, it's incredible. Why does he let us involved with his great, mighty work? Right? Grace. Grace. We go to the last topic of worship. Okay? Worship. Okay? Worship comes from the English, old English word, worth-ship. It has to do with worth. Worth. Whatever is worth to you, most worthy to you, you worship. That's why Spurgeon says, if you're not worshiping the eternal God, you're worshiping something else. We are all created to worship. If college, if high school, if your business, if your success is the most worthy thing, then you're worshiping that. But how do we worship? How do we become worshipers? I think when we see the greatness and the glory and the goodness of God. When we see it. How do we see that? Through the Word. Okay, through the Word. Okay? Worship is seeing what God is worth and giving him what is worth. What does he worth? How much does God worth? One last Bible story and then we're done. Okay? John chapter 12 is after resurrection of Lazarus. Jesus is on his way to death, only 6 days away. Okay, and then a lady named Mary, she brings and pour everything at the feet of Jesus. her lifetime saving, and her self and dignity, her hair. Okay? Let me read that. 6 days before the Passover, the cross, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was resurrected, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here's a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, and while Lazarus was among the reclining at the table with him. Now here comes, okay? Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume, which is about $50,000 in 2019 per capita. $50,000 perfume, okay? She just poured it at Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. Wow. Very peculiar activity. Pour $50,000 and waste it. And hair to this Palestinian young ladies meant their self, their dignity. And she let her down and wiped Jesus' feet. And house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. One of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and money given to the poor? It was worth," here's the word, "worth a yearly wage, $50,000. Why did you waste it? You idiot." That's what he's saying, right? He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. Judas was a thief. As keepers of money bag, and he used to help himself to what was put into him. But here's the response of God, Jesus. "Leave her alone. Leave her alone." Jesus replied, "It was intended that she should save this perfume for day of my death, my burial, my cross." Okay? "You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." What happened? Mary always sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to what Jesus spoken. Jesus' teaching. Okay? And 6 days before Jesus went to the cross, she believed, pouring everything I got at the feet of Jesus, who's on his way to the death of the cross, is right thing to do. So she poured, in other words, she wasted her lifetime saving at the feet of Jesus. She wasted lifetime saving. And she let down her hair, okay? Palestinian ladies let down her hair, with her hair washing the feet of Jesus. Self-abandonment, if you will. Why? How? I believe she believed it was worth it. It was her worship. Why? Because Jesus' cross was such a waste. Jesus wasted, quote unquote, his life for her. And Jesus abandoned himself on the cross. And she knew it. That's why she wasted her life, lifetime saving, and abandoned herself. How did she figure that out? She was at the feet of Jesus, very close proximity, listening to the word of God. What did she hear? Maybe something like this: "Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground, it dies. Remains a single seed. But if it dies, it's going to produce many seed. Whoever tries to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will gain it. If you love your mother or father more than me, you are not worthy for the kingdom of God. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but will have everlasting life." She heard this word, right? And she believed it was worth it. So she worshiped. My brothers and sisters, it begins with worship. It begins with worship. And you lay down the tracks for the kingdom. And bring the gospel. And bringing the mercy of God to your living room. And mission flows from the heart of God. If you think about it, this core values of New Heart is what God treasures. This is who God is. Worship begins with God. Prayer begins with God. Restoration begins with God. Missions begins with God. And we are followers of that great God. Okay? May this year, may God raise up worshipers, prayer 300 like warriors. I love that movie. Yeah. And bringing mercy and restoration to your families. And be missionary church wherever he sends us. Let's pray.